Welcome in, everybody. We're diving into something pretty fascinating today. Looking back at the 2024 election.
Oh, yeah.
But through this really interesting lens.
Okay.
We've got this blog post from 2016 by Dave Weiner, you know, big tech blogger guy.
Right.
And even though it's a few years old, his analysis of that election feels surprisingly relevant now.
It's crazy, right? Like how looking back can sometimes shine a light on what's happening today.
Absolutely.
His main point, you know, that the 2016 election was this reaction to the speed of change in society.
Yeah.
It really resonates with people looking back at this year's election, too.
Totally. It's like a different way of looking at things.
Right.
Instead of just focusing on, like, the economy or, you know, the policy debates.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's really focused on this idea of people being overwhelmed when things change too quickly, even if those changes are generally seen as good things.
Positive changes.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. He's basically arguing that for a lot of voters, it created this, like, sense of unease.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, wanting things to be more stable.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how that might have played a role in 2024, too.
Yeah. Okay, so let's, like, break this down a little bit.
Okay.
What were some of these, like, specific changes that he's talking about in this post?
He lists a pretty diverse range of shifts.
Okay.
Like, the super fast advancement of technology, legalization of gay marriage, electing Barack Obama as the first black president, even like Hillary Clinton being the first woman nominated by a major party for president.
Right.
So you've got social changes, political changes, technological changes.
It's a lot happening.
It was a lot.
All at once. Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's interesting because, like, most people would agree that these were all, like, positive steps forward.
Uh-huh.
But what Weiner's saying is, like, the sheer speed of it all might have triggered a backlash almost.
It makes sense, right? Like, think about it. Even good change. It forces us to adapt, like, to shift how we see the world.
Right.
And when so much happens at once, it can just be too much. You know, some people love that.
Yeah.
But others need time to process.
Totally. It's like when so much is happening in your own life.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you move to a new city.
Right.
You start a new job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you go through like a big life event or something.
Yeah.
Even if each of those things is good on its own, it can just be overwhelming.
Totally.
Like too much to handle all at once.
Yeah.
And Weiner's argument is that that feeling, you know, being swept up in all that change, that might have influenced how people voted.
Oh, right.
Not just in 2016, but maybe in 2024, too.
And it's fascinating because he doesn't just focus on the changes themselves.
Okay.
He also points to how those changes were portrayed by the media.
Uh-huh.
He even says, like, the media influenced public perception and voter behavior significantly.
So is he saying the media was, like, purposely trying to make things seem more chaotic than they were?
Oh.
Or was the media just reflecting the anxieties that were already out there?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't think he's accusing the media of, like,
okay,
you know, trying to manipulate people.
Right.
But he does say that, like, their focus on the sensational, you know, like, conflict, that probably contributed to this heightened sense of anxiety and uncertainty among voters.
So even if they weren't intentionally trying to scare people, their approach to covering these changes might have had that effect.
It might have amplified those feelings of, like, too much change, too fast. Yeah. And remember, this was happening in the years leading up to both elections, 2016 and 2024.
Yeah.
Think about how much the media has changed.
Right.
In that time.
Absolutely. Especially with, like, social media and the 24/7 news cycle.
Exactly.
That makes you wonder how all that information.
Yeah.
Especially when it's framed as, like,
right,
you know, crisis and conflict.
Mm-hmm.
How that might have affected how people saw the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately how they voted.
Absolutely. And this leads to another interesting part of his argument.
Okay.
He says that economic concerns might have been, like, secondary to these anxieties about societal change.
Wait, so you're saying it wasn't really about the economy?
What?
Like, people weren't voting based on their own
situation? No. He's arguing that for a lot of voters, those economic concerns were tied up with this unease about, like, where society was headed. It was like, the economy matters.
Well,
but what's really unsettling is that everything feels like it's changing too fast. And we don't know if where things are going.
That's a really interesting way to look at it.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder about those two things, like how economic anxiety and the fear of change, how they might have played off each other.
Yeah.
Do you think people who are already, like, struggling financially might be even more resistant to, like, social or cultural changes?
That's a great point.
because it's almost like they see those changes
as insightful.
A threat to their way of life.
It makes sense, right? If you're already stressed about money.
Yeah.
The idea of big societal changes.
Yeah.
It just feels like one more thing to worry about.
Yeah.
One more thing that could disrupt your life.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're already barely keeping your head above water.
Right.
And then someone comes along and starts rocking the boat.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to want to cling to what, you know.
Exactly.
Even if it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Because at least it's familiar.
Right. And I think we might have seen that in the 2024 election too.
Yeah.
Especially with all the economic uncertainty the past few years. For some voters, maybe it wasn't about specific economic promises.
Yeah.
Maybe it was more about wanting stability.
Right.
And a return to something that felt normal in a world that felt really chaotic.
So it wasn't just about, like, the numbers.
Right.
It was about this deeper sense of, like, wanting something that felt predictable.
Exactly.
And familiar.
And I think that's a key takeaway from Weiner's analysis.
Okay.
We need to look beyond the surface level stuff in politics.
Yeah.
And try to understand those deeper emotional and psychological things.
Right.
That are driving how people vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about the policies. It's about how people are feeling.
Absolutely.
About the changes happening around them.
Yeah.
And how those feelings translate into their choices at the ballot box.
Right.
It's a much more nuanced picture than we often get from the headlines.
Totally. And it makes you think about the kinds of leaders.
Yeah.
That can actually connect with people on that deeper level.
Exactly.
It's not just about having the right policies anymore. It's about understanding those deeper anxieties and aspirations. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And offering a vision that speaks to those feelings.
Yeah.
That's what makes a leader truly effective in a time of such rapid change.
It's about more than just politics. It's about understanding the human side of it all.
Yeah. That's a really powerful insight.
I think so, too.
It makes you wonder about the future and what kind of leadership we need.
Yeah.
To navigate these turbulent times.
Absolutely.
All right. So much to think about here.
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with more from Dave Weiner's analysis.
Sounds good.
And what it might mean for the future.
Looking forward to it. But you know what's interesting? He doesn't just leave it at the analysis.
Okay.
He actually talks about what we can do about all this.
Oh, interesting.
Like, he thinks society can adapt to rapid change.
Okay. But how? Does he give any examples?
He really emphasizes education, like helping people understand why all these changes are happening and, you know, giving them the tools to deal with this kind of evolving world.
Yeah. So like if we understand the changes better,
right,
we might be less anxious about them.
Exactly.
It's like instead of reacting out of fear, we can maybe start to see change as something we can shape or influence.
It's about recognizing that change is going to happen.
Right.
But we have a choice in how we respond to it.
Okay. I love that. Like shifting our mindset from change is scary.
Yeah.
To change is an opportunity.
Exactly.
But how do we actually do that? Like how do we make that shift happen?
Right.
On a larger scale?
It's tough for sure.
Yeah.
But I think Weiner has some good ideas.
Yeah.
He says policymakers need to really understand the anxiety behind this resistance to change.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks empathy and open communication are key. Like, instead of dismissing people's concerns or trying to force change on them before they're ready.
There's that word again, empathy.
Right.
Seems so important.
Yeah.
Like, not just in politics, but in how we approach change as individuals, too.
Absolutely.
It's about remembering that behind every vote,
behind
every strong opinion,
there's
a person with their own experiences and fears.
It's about seeing each other as human beings first.
Yeah.
Not just political opponents.
Right.
Maybe that's how we can start to understand each other better.
I love that. Imagine if our leaders actually listened.
Right.
Instead of just pushing their own agendas.
Yeah. What if they took the time to understand why people are feeling left behind or overwhelmed by all this change?
It's like that saying, people don't care how much you know.
Right.
Until they know how much you care.
Exactly.
Maybe that applies to politics, too.
Yeah.
Like if leaders show genuine empathy,
mm-hmm.
maybe people will be more open to new ideas.
It's possible.
So maybe that's a key takeaway here.
Yeah.
In a world where change is just going to keep accelerating. Empathy is crucial.
It might be just as important as any policy or economic plan.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it ties into another thing Weiner talks about.
Go ahead.
The need for resilience and adaptability.
So, like, being able to bounce back from setbacks.
Right.
And kind of roll with the punches.
It's more than just endurance, though. True resilience is about being willing to learn and grow, to adapt as the world changes.
Right.
It's also about having strong support systems.
Oh, yeah. Like family and friends.
Exactly.
People you can lean on when things get tough.
Exactly.
So it's about having that inner strength.
Yeah.
But also knowing you don't have to go through it alone.
Right.
You need those connections.
Absolutely.
And that's where adaptability comes in.
Exactly.
Being open to new ideas, even if they challenge what you already believe.
Right. Being willing to try new things.
Yeah.
Even if you fail sometimes.
Because in a world that's constantly changing.
Yeah.
That ability to adapt.
Right.
That might be the most important skill we can have.
It might be.
It makes me think of that quote. It's not the strongest or the most intelligent that survive.
Right.
It's the ones who are most adaptable to change.
Exactly. And I think that's a powerful message for all of us.
Absolutely.
No matter what our political views are. If we want to thrive in this era of rapid change, we need that empathy, that resilience, and that adaptability.
It's like a recipe for navigating the future.
It kind of is.
Wow. This deep dive has been so insightful.
Yeah.
Weiner's analysis of the 2016 election and how it connects to 2024. It's a really thought-provoking way to look at things.
Right, agree.
It's not just about left versus right.
Right.
It's about how we all deal with change.
Exactly.
And the anxieties and opportunities that come with it.
Yeah. And I think it goes beyond just politics.
Oh, yeah.
His insights about how humans respond to change.
Yeah.
They're relevant to our personal lives, our work,
right.
How we understand the world around us.
Absolutely. So for our listeners out there,
yeah.
Here's something to think about.
Okay.
How do you personally deal with those anxieties of change?
Mm.
What helps you stay resilient and adaptable?
Good question.
In this world that just keeps changing.
It's a question we all have to grapple with, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And maybe even more importantly,
yeah.
What kind of leadership do we need in this world?
Right.
What qualities should we be looking for
huh?
in the people we trust to guide us through all of this?
Those are great questions to ponder.
Yeah.
And I think Weiner gives us some clues.
Okay.
If he's right about this anxiety around change,
yeah.
then the leaders who will connect with people are the ones who can address those anxieties.
Right.
Not by dismissing them,
yeah.
but by acknowledging the challenges people face and offering a way forward that feels hopeful
okay.
and realistic.
So not just promising a return to the past.
Right.
But helping people feel ready to face the future.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance.
Right.
Between acknowledging the anxieties and inspiring hope for the future.
It's a tough job.
It is.
But it's crucial for leadership in a world where change is constant.
Think about those qualities we talked about.
Okay.
Empathy, resilience, adaptability.
Yeah.
Those aren't just individual traits. Right. It can be reflected in our policies and systems too.
So it's not just about the individual leader. It's
right.
about building a society
yeah.
that can handle change and come out stronger.
Exactly. Weiner says we need policies that promote resilience
okay.
and adaptability.
Mm-hmm.
Policies that help people develop the skills they need
yeah.
to thrive in a changing world.
So like investing in education and job training.
Exactly.
Creating social safety nets.
Mm-hmm.
Fostering innovation.
Probably
it's about creating an environment where people feel supported.
Yeah, and empowered to embrace change.
Not afraid of it.
Exactly. And it's not just a top-down thing.
Right.
It takes individuals, communities,
yeah.
institutions,
right.
all working together.
To build a more resilient future.
Exactly. It's a collective effort.
Absolutely.
We need to move beyond our political differences
yeah.
and focus on what's good for everyone.
This deep dive has been amazing.
It has.
Weiner's analysis of the 2016 election
huh.
and how it all might have played out again in 2024.
Yeah.
It's really made me think differently about politics.
I think it challenges all of us to think deeper.
It's not just about left versus right anymore.
No.
It's about how we deal with change as a society.
Exactly. And I think the biggest takeaway is this.
Yeah.
We have a choice in how we respond to change.
Okay.
We can let it overwhelm us.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can learn to navigate it
yeah.
with empathy, mm-hmm. resilience,
yeah.
adaptability.
It's like those are our guiding principles.
They can be.
For the future.
The future isn't set in stone.
Right.
It's something we create
yeah.
through the choices we make every day.
That's a powerful thought.
It is.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
Until then.
And maybe even more importantly, what kind of leadership do we need in this world? Like, what qualities should we be looking for?
Ooh. That's a good one. You know, if Weiner's right about this whole anxiety thing, about all this rapid change, I think the leaders who can really connect are going to be the ones who can address those anxieties head on.
Okay.
Not by like brushing them aside,
right,
but by actually acknowledging those challenges that people are dealing with and then offering a path forward that feels hopeful,
right,
but also realistic.
So not just promising to bring back the good old days.
Right. Exactly. It's not about going back.
Yeah.
It's about moving forward.
Right.
But doing it in a way that makes people feel like they can handle it.
Like they can handle the future.
Exactly. It's a tricky balance.
It is.
But I think it's super important for leadership today.
In a world where everything's changing so fast.
Exactly. And you know what's interesting?
What?
We've been talking about these qualities.
Yeah.
Empathy, resilience, adaptability.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't just things for individuals.
Right.
Those can be reflected in our policies, too.
Oh, I see what you mean. So it's not just about the leader themselves. It's about building a society that's like designed to be more resilient and adaptable.
That's a great way to put it. Weiner says we need policies that actually promote those things.
Like how?
Like investing in education and job training.
Okay.
So people have the skills for the future.
Right.
Creating safety nets.
Yeah.
So people have support when things are tough, encouraging innovation and entrepreneurship.
I keep up with the changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about creating an environment where people feel supported and empowered to embrace change.
Yet run away from it.
Exactly. And this isn't just something the government does.
Oh, yeah?
This takes all of us.
What do you mean?
Individuals, communities, institutions.
Wait.
We all have a role to play.
In building that more resilient future.
Exactly. We have to move past all the political fighting and focus on what's good for everyone.
Man, this has been such a great conversation.
It has.
Weiner's analysis of that 2016 election and how it connects to what just happened in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
It's really made me think about things in a new way.
I think it challenges all of us.
To look beyond the surface.
Exactly.
It's not just about left versus right anymore.
It's so much bigger than that.
It's about how we deal with change as a society.
Exactly. And I think the most important thing is this.
What's that?
We have a choice in how we respond to all this change.
Okay.
We can let it overwhelm us.
Yeah.
Or we can learn to navigate it.
With those qualities.
Exactly. Empathy, resilience, adaptability.
They're like our compass.
They can be.
For navigating the future.
The future's not set in stone.
I love that.
It's something we create.
By the choices we make.
Every single day.
That's a great note to end on.
It is.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone.
Absolutely.
And we'll catch you next time.
See
you.